Coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. That's right on the backside of a dairy farm just outside of Norwood, Missouri. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live. And where is it here? What is this? What does this represent to you? Huh? What is that? That is, I have more news today than you can shake a stick at, all right? Actually, this is the leftovers of my lunch. There was some sort of meat hanging on the end. That's not a bone. Some sort of meat hanging on there. We got it from a restaurant. Who knows what kind of meat it was. But anyway, good to be with you today. Good to have Pastor Reg Kelly staying with us here at our top secret broadcasting campground, I guess it could be. He's been staying here. Came in yesterday afternoon. What a wonderful service we had with him last night. And just a good time of fellowship, breaking bread together in my office. And I think Bradley came by and took Reg out to lunch. Okay. Where was I? I just waved to them as they went off down the road. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, I hope they had a good time. And we had a great service last night. Looking forward to more good preaching today. I pulled up Drudge Report today, and I've been reading over some of your emails, and some of them I actually kind of did some investigating in. I've got something about Ed Young Jr. that was really, 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 really interesting to me. Not just some symbolisms, and I'm going to talk about that, but something that goes on in his church, and it goes on in a lot of churches now, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. Here's the first thing I had pulled up. This is on frontporchpolitics.com. First American arrested using guerrilla-like police tactics, a predator drone. The lawyer for the first American to be arrested with the help of a predator drone says that guerrilla-like police tactics were used to arrest his client. Rodney Rosart was arrested last June after a 16-hour standoff. We talked about this here a while back. Standoff with police in Lakota, North Dakota. The incident was over the ownership of six cows that had wandered onto Rosart's farm. He was going to keep the cows. He said, they got on my land, so they're my cows. And Rosart was repeatedly tased after allegedly threatening to kill law enforcement officers who came onto his property. You know, they'll do that every time. If you threaten to kill police officers, they will threaten to kill you back. Okay? It's just common sense. I don't have a problem with law enforcement officers. They don't bother me, and I don't bother them. In fact, there is a local, I won't say which municipality is, but there's a local police officer that comes by here every now and then, pulls his car down in here. At least he knows where the broadcasting compound is. And he's a good guy. He likes our videos, likes our stuff, has a lot of questions, and I pray for him all the time, pray that he'll be safe. Pray for police officers. A lot of these guys are just guys that just have an incredible, tough job to do. But as you and I both know, we are turning our nation more from a locally controlled, let's say, a deputy or a county sheriff who has a lot of authority, more than what people give him, to enforce the laws of a particular county. We're going from local enforcement. And I would say that's even in the public school system. Public school systems were fine as long as a local community governed the public school. But here's what happened. The liberals and the do-gooders and the socialists and the people with an agenda and the homosexuals and everything like that, they decided that it's not good that all the schools be locally controlled. It's not good that all the counties be locally governed. So let's get federal involvement in it. The federal government, according to the Constitution, still cannot tell a local school district you can or cannot do this unless you receive federal funding. And what school district will turn down federal funding, especially when all the teachers in that school district are part of the teachers' union that's saying you need more money? That's how it works. See, what is the root of all evil? It's the love of money. And so the local sheriff's departments are seeking federal funds, more money, federal, the federal, the federales, get involved and say, okay, you want more money? Here, it's you're going to have to give us something. Give us control. And so where are all these drones coming from? Where's the funding for these drones coming from? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? These little, in some cases, they're about this big. And they have the ability to fly over high altitudes, have very, very sharp cameras on them, find out exactly what's going on. And the first case is being, the guy's already got a lawyer, and I don't know the status of the case, but we'll keep our eye on that. And then I pulled this article up. Family Battle offers look inside lavish TV ministry. Out of Newport Beach, California, for 39 years, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, which, just out of fairness, the Trinity Broadcasting Network actually does not have anything to do with the real Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Just thought I'd throw that in there as a disclaimer. Has urged viewers to give generously and reap the Lord's bounty in return. Okay? They're going to hit you up for money and then promise you that God will pay you back like seven times. Okay? Never works. But that's what they say. Somebody, and we were walking out of our congregation last night, walking out of the church, and one of our newest members said, you know what, in the church that she used to go to, and they've got billboards all over the St. Louis area. Everybody's come to the new hip-hop coffee shop church that they go to. She said, where we came from, she said that they'd have big TV screens all up in front of the church, and the pastor would play video clips of people like sitting, they're being videotaped in their home, and they're sitting there and they're saying, you know, boy, we were just, man, we were destitute and we were really hurting financially and we just didn't have anything. And we watched Pastor So-and-so's message and we decided that we would sow a seed into his ministry. And we just, I mean, we borrowed money and just gave it to him. And all of a sudden money started coming into us and we were paying our bills. And look at this new car we have and this and that and the other. And I said, I told her, I said, you were sitting in on a setup. They were set. You know why they played that testimony? Is so that would encourage everybody sitting there. Anybody else may be involved in that ministry. I don't know if they have a TV ministry or what. That encourages everybody to fork over the cash because they want to make it sound like that if you do this, if you drop change into the, actually, they don't want your coins. Okay. They want your debit card or your checking account or whatever. They want access to it. The more they want you to throw money at them with the promise now that God is going to return to you sevenfold. He's going to double this thing. It's going to triple it. You might even get a hundredfold, like according to the book of Mark, chapter 4. You might actually have more money than God one of these days. That's what they promise these people. Now, I believe in giving. I believe in tithing. I don't hammer tithing. I don't hammer giving. Out of responsibility to the idea that I think that if God lays it on your heart to give, you'll give. But I teach it as a biblical principle, and I'll tell you this. If you ever, and I want everybody to listen to this, if you ever drop a dime in the offering plate or you send in money, whether it's to this church or any other church, with the hope and the expectation that you are going to get something back out of it in return, that is not a gift. It is not a free will offering, and you don't love God. Let me tell you who you love. You love yourself. You see, pure love, pure biblical love is giving without any expectation of return. How do I know that? Let me give you a scripture. For God so loved, there's that word, and the Bible's going to define it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, notice the whosoever part, God gave his Son freely to mankind without any guarantee of benefit to him whatsoever. He was not giving his Son so that you would turn around and give something back to God. That's not how it works, and that's not real love. You know what that is? That's harlot love. Harlots do what they do for money. They do whatever they do. They'll give you love in return for what? In return for money. Secret Service agents found that out. That's what got them in trouble. When they didn't fork over the money, that's when they all got in trouble. Okay? That is harlot love. Pure love from God is, God gave his Son to who? To whosoever. He gave him to the entire world. Now, is the entire world turning themselves back to God and saying, okay, God gave us this, so we'll give back? No, most people that have ever lived in human history are going to reject God's gift. But God offers it anyway. You know why? Because he loved. And so when you give a gift, like to a church or a ministry, a mission or something like that, and if you give that in expectation that God is going to render something back to you as a result of that, I have some advice to you. Reach in and take it back out and hang on to it. God doesn't want it. It's not a payment for services rendered either. It's a free gift. Now back to the news story. The prosperity gospel preached by Paul and Jan Crouch, who built a single station in the world's largest Christian television network, has worked out well for them. Mr. and Mrs. Crouch have his and her mansions. That kind of makes sense. Have you seen this lady? I would not live in the same house as this woman. And apparently she wouldn't live in the same house either with all the company he gets, if you know what I mean. Mr. and Mrs. Crouch have in his or her mansions one street apart in a gated community here provided by the network using viewer donations and tax-free earnings. But Mrs. Crouch, who is 74, rarely sleeps in the $5.6 million house with tennis court and pool. She mostly lives in a large company house near Orlando, Florida, where she runs a side business called the Holy Land Experience Theme Park. Mr. Crouch, 78, has an adjacent home there, too, but rarely visits. Its occupant is often a security guard who doubles as Mrs. Crouch's chauffeur. The twin sets of luxury homes only hint at the high living enjoyed by the Crouches, inspirational television personalities whose multitudes of station and satellite signals reach millions of worshipers across the globe. Almost since they started in the 1970s, the couple have been criticized for secrecy about their use of donations, which totaled $93 million in 2010. Now or after I remembered something. Pastor Kelly, I heard him talking one time, and somebody asked his dad, Mr. Kelly, there are dairy farmers down in Norwood. He said, Mr. Kelly, what would you do if you had $1 million? He said, I'd farm with it till it was all gone. $93 million. Now, after an upheaval with Shakespearean echoes, one son in this first family of televangelism has ousted the other to become the heir apparent. A granddaughter who was in charge of TBN's finances has gone public with the most detailed allegations of financial improprieties yet, which TBN has denied. What are they going to admit to it? Saying its practices were audited and legal. That doesn't mean they were right. Keep that in mind. That does not mean that they were right in the sight of God. See how the language that they use. The granddaughter, Brittany Coper, and her husband have been fired by the network, which accused them of stealing $1.3 million to buy real estate and cars and make family loans. Quote, they're just trying to divert attention from their own crimes, said Colby May, a lawyer representing TBN. Janice and Paul Crouch declined requests for interview. Just a brief glimpse now into the high life of probably one of the most debauched, non-correct, doctrinally unsound religious broadcasting thing. I would rather watch Al-Qaeda television sooner than I would watch TBN. If you've been a watcher of TBN, shame on you. If you sent money to them, shame, 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 shame on you. Here's another article that makes me just feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Live bacteria to be released by Homeland Insecurity in supposed terror drill leaves startling unanswered questions. The Department of Homeland Insecurity plans to release a literal live bacteria on Boston area subways sometime this summer in what they have dubbed a terror test. Does anybody but me think this is not a good idea? The release of the bacteria Bacillus subtilis, which means subtle bacteria. Think about that. In Boston subways to test bioweapon sensors is apparently a non-event, with the corporate media claiming that the bacteria is completely harmless to healthy people. That's really encouraging. I just, I feel safe now with the Department of Homeland Insecurity releasing a live bacteria. I don't have any worries. If the bacteria is harmless to healthy people, and some evidence has shown that Bacillus subtilis can cause miscarriages, what will happen to unhealthy people who may or may not be riding the subway the night this terror drill occurs? Many transients and other people that would be considered unhealthy generally ride the subway in the late hours of the night. Will they be harmed by this live bacteria really? And I'll tell you what I think. I think this is a test, not of a terror drill. It looks to me like they're testing a live bacteria on people who have nothing left to lose anyway. If it makes them sick and kills them, if blood starts boiling out of their chest cavity, these are homeless people. What difference does it make to them? And the United States government has shown over the years that they don't have a problem testing stuff on people that everybody else doesn't like. They have already shown, this is documented. They have a long history of testing stuff on people that nobody else likes, like black people, like soldiers, like homeless people. Does anybody but me think that this is a really, 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 really bad idea? Let's talk conspiracy theories. I've got two articles pulled up that deal with the same issue. This is dated May 8th, that's today, 2012, from Tehran, Iran. A United Nations nuclear. Everybody do this, okay? Everybody. Nuclear, not nuclear. Everybody repeat it after me. Just loosen your jaw and your language will appear. Nuclear, okay? It's sort of like the word realtor, not realtor, which is related to the word jewelry, not jewelry. Okay? Hey, look, if I can stop saying irregardless, you can stop saying nuclear. Okay? A United Nations nuclear inspector from South Korea was killed Tuesday. And a colleague was injured in a car crash near a reactor site in central Iran, news reporters said. There were no immediate indications of foul play, but the crash is likely to undergo intense scrutiny. The official Islamic Republic news agency, you can count on them to tell the truth, said the International Atomic Energy Agency inspector died when the car overturned around a heavy water reactor being built in Kandab, about 150 miles southwest of Tehran. Iran says the reactor, part of the Arak complex, will be used to produce isotopes for peaceful medical and industrial uses. You see, you need to get it out of your idea that the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, is known as a 12er, which means he believes in the imminent return of the 12th Imam Mahdi, the guy who's going to come down and lead the war against all of the Jews in the world to eradicate them and kill them all. You need to forget that, because that has nothing to do with the fact that Iran wants nuclear something. It has nothing to do with you. Just you wild-eyed conspiracy people. Now I suppose you're going to say that the guy, the UN nuclear inspector that was killed in the car crash wreck. That's what I was going to say. This UN nuclear inspector was killed in this car crash, and it was purely accidental. There was no foul play involved. Well, what about this? This is on WorldNet Daily today. I had mentioned, I think, last week, Andrew Breitbart. The guy runs Breitbart.com. It's a news agency. I've been to it several times. They had good articles on there. Stuff that really nobody, and I'm talking legitimate news. I'm not talking about some wild-eyed, crazy Mike Hoggard news. I'm talking about real news. Telegraphs to the entire world, because he doesn't have a conspiratorial mind, apparently, telegraphs to the entire world that he has the most explosive information on the origins of Barack Hussein Obama. He's got the stuff, okay? And he says on April 20th, I'm going to tell the world what I know, okay? The day before he was going to release this explosive information, that night, Andrew Breitbart ends up dead. Okay? So they have an autopsy. They autopsy him. The official autopsy report is he had a heart attack. Get over it. Move on. Okay. But one of the coroners on the team that did the autopsy drops dead of an apparent poisoning. Self-inflicted, probably. I mean, it's just suicide. Okay. Something doesn't sound right with that. And now, WorldNet Daily reports this. A private investigator has been unable to find the only eyewitness to the sudden death of media innovator and conservative activist Andrew Breitbart. So we have the coroner dead. Now the only witness who says, yeah, he's clutching his heart, you know, and now they can't find him. The apparent disappearance of Christopher Lassiter, who says he saw Breitbart drop to the sidewalk in front of a restaurant, adds to the mystery surrounding Breitbart's March the 1st death. Is it March 1st or April? I'm missing something. Anyway, March 1st. All right. On the day the Los Angeles County coroner released Breitbart's autopsy report, a photographic technician at the coroner's office died suddenly of suspicious causes. In addition, at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington, D.C., just 3 weeks before Breitbart's death, where he promised to unveil, quote, damning new video evidence of Barack Obama's radical past that would change the election, Breitbart gave WorldNet Daily details of the upcoming revelations. He claimed to WorldNet Daily that he had a video showing radical weather underground terrorist Bill Ayers and Barack Obama at Harvard planning revolution in the United States. Revolution. I want you to think about this word, revolution. We're going to see it again. Okay? In the United States. But the video aired just after he died was of Obama introducing a radical Harvard professor, and the general response was flat. And I remember that, and I'm going, okay, so what? Okay? So now we have Breitbart dead, who had evidence of Obama and Bill Ayers, okay, planning a revolution. Breitbart had it. Now he's dead. The coroner who did the autopsy, dead. The witness who saw him clutch his heart, keel over heart attack, nobody knows where he is. Do you remember? I pulled this up. You can do this. Go to Google and type in Clinton body count. Who remembers this? Anybody? Anybody remember the Clinton body count? This is not the first stinky thing that's happened in relation to a president of the United States of America. You pull up, and there's dozens of websites that deal with this. The Clinton body count. It's all these people that had some kind of doing with Bill Clinton that ended up, they're dead. Okay? You remember James McDougal. James McDougal was serving a 3-year sentence for bank fraud at the Fort Worth Federal Medical Center in Texas, a facility operated by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Jim McDougal was a former, he was a business partner with Bill and Hillary, and he died, suffered a heart attack. Imagine that. Charles Ruff, a Clinton lawyer, died in 2000. Let's see here. Who else can we find here? The most famous. Vince Foster. You remember Vince Foster, don't you? Vince Foster was the chief White House counsel. He was the head lawyer for Bill and Hillary Clinton. Vince Foster not only had a list of where all the bodies were buried, he still had the shovel, okay? Vince Foster died of a self-inflicted wrong-handed gunshot wound. Wrong-handed, I mean, it was found in one hand, and he shot with the other hand. Okay? In a park outside of Washington, D.C. And as soon as word comes out that he's dead, guess who runs down to his office to start grabbing files of papers? Hillary Clinton. So, Vince Foster. Let's see. William Colby, director of Central Intelligence, died mysteriously out in a canoe in the middle of a lake. Here we go. Here's a good one. Because everybody knows that Bill Clinton, probably Monica Lewinsky was, let's say she was not his first lover. Okay? Bill Clinton had a reputation. Jennifer Flowers. Is these names ring a bell? Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky. Who's the gal that actually sued him? I can't remember what her name was. But anyway, when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, it was commonly known that he would frequent houses of ill repute. Okay? And by the way, he's not the first politician to ever be like this. JFK, there's a book. I have the book. I've started reading it. JFK, he got around. I mean, he got around. Okay? And it was all covered up. And Bill Clinton got around while he was governor of Arkansas. And so all of these Arkansas highway patrolmen who doubled as bodyguards for Bill Clinton. Let's look at how some of these guys ended up. We have Major General William Robertson, Colonel William Dinsberger, Colonel Robert Kelly, Specialist Gary Rhodes. You know who they were. They all died on February 23rd, 1993. All were killed when their Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed in Wiesbaden, Germany. No cause was ever determined. All four of those guys were Bill Clinton bodyguards. Okay? Here's another one. This one I have never forgotten in my life. I never, if you don't believe in a single conspiracy, this one's got to get you. Okay? This one's got to get you. Steve Willis, Robert Williams, Conway LeBleu, Todd McKeon, they were all Bill Clinton bodyguards. They all died on exactly the same day. Do you know what day that was? February the 28th, 1993. Killed by gunfire in Waco, Texas on the assault on the Branch Davidian compound. All four were examined by a private doctor and died from nearly identical wounds to the left temple, so-called execution style. Clinton body count. Then the list just goes on. Bodyguard, bodyguard, bodyguard. Here's another list. Brian Haney, Tim Sable, William Barkley, Scott Reynolds. They were all Clinton bodyguards. They were all military men. Died 5/19/93. All four men died when their helicopter crashed in the woods near Quantico, Virginia. If I was ever a Bill Clinton bodyguard and somebody offered me a helicopter ride, there's no way in the world I would take that one. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Mena, Arkansas, two young men. I remember this one. Two young men. Teenagers. Found dead. Hands tied behind their back. Gunshot wound to the back of the head. And the state medical examiner, not the local one, the state one. The state medical examiner, they found them alongside a set of rail tracks by the Mena Airport, where supposedly the CIA was running drugs. Common knowledge. State medical examiner, hired by Bill Clinton, says they committed suicide. Okay? And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Is there a cover-up going on in Washington, D.C.? Absolutely. You remember the D.C. Madam? I was actually going to go look for a picture, and I didn't do it. The D.C. Madam. She was a woman. She ran a high-class, politicians-only, and heads-of-state-only call service in Washington, D.C. It was common knowledge that if you and you need to understand how Washington works. Washington works on trade, and I'm not talking about our tennis shoes for your radios. That's not what I'm talking about. Politics works on the basis of trades and gifts and bribes. In the United States, these tradesmen and these bigwigs in business and corporations and politics bring people in from all over the world, and what are they going to do with them while they're in D.C.? They're going to show them a good time. Who's the people you hire for that? You hire the D.C. madam. She had a high-class call girl system going on in Washington, D.C., and she had a book with names and numbers in it. And I don't know what happened. Maybe she didn't play by the rules. But all of a sudden now they're going to throw the book at this gal, and they're going to try her, and they're going to try to convict her. And she says, I've got the book. I've got the book. They found her guilty before her sentencing. She goes on Alex Jones' radio program. Alex Jones specifically asked her, you got any plans on committing suicide? I mean, everything going okay with you? I mean, oh, no, they're going to send you and everything. You're not going to commit suicide, are you? And she says, absolutely not. I have no plans. I want to see this thing through. I want the truth out. And right before a sentencing hearing, they find her dead in her mom and dad's shed, hanging. Okay? There's just something that stinks in this world. It is a very, very corrupt world. Let's see here. I need to get to... I got some other stories here. I think I'll wait on this. Somebody sent me... And this is pretty interesting here. Let me... Oh, I got to show you this. I'm going to show you a graphic very quickly. How's that? Okay? This is... I've never watched this show. I vaguely know what it's about. It's a TV show called Fringe. It's one of these programs that deals with the paranormal, the supernatural, aliens, parallel universes, you know, quantum, you know, there's a gateway that can be open. I mean, the whole it just kind of follows the whole plot thing. And somebody sent me a link to a YouTube video of the introduction to the TV show. And they said, Pastor Mike, you got to take a look at it. And so here it is right here. Okay, there's just this one little clip here of this hand. Okay, and it's only up there, you know, just briefly. And you go, well, what's up with that? Let me show it to you again. What do you see? It's a hand, dummy. A thumb and five fingers. A thumb and five fingers. How many is that? That kind of reminds me of, oh, the Giants. Just finished the third video of the Giants. It's out on YouTube. We have them already available on DVD. If you'd like a copy of them, just get a hold of our ministry. And if you'll sow a seed into our ministry, God will return to you. No, wouldn't do that. Okay. Somebody sent me this. This is Ed Young. This is the guy who puts a bed on his stage at church. And he says that sex is worship. This is that guy. Okay? Sex is worship. Now, and then he's the one that did the bed in, the sleep in. He's the guy that got up on the roof of his church to exploit Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing. He was exploiting Jesus Christ. It was a gimmick. It was a... Oh, what do they call it? I can't remember. But anyway, that's what it was. It was to get noticed is what it was. That's what harlots do, by the way. Harlots love to get on TV and get noticed. That's what they do. And so Ed Young is up with his wife in a bed on the roof of their church for, what, 24 hours, 7 days, something like that. And they talk about if you've 7 days with you and your wife or you and your partner or whatever. Okay, absolutely ridiculous. So that's Ed Young. Now, I will say this. That is probably the ugliest suit I've ever seen in my life. Okay? That looks like something Pat Robertson wore in 1973. I think that is the exact same suit as what Pat Robertson wore in 1973. Now, he's doing a sermon series called Wild. And I'm going, and the guy that sent it to me is saying, Pastor Mike, he's got a thing on dogs, and he's comparing dogs, and I haven't listened to that part of the sermon yet. But he's talking about dogs and dogs this and dogs that. And he said, you know, the only scripture that I could think of is, for without are dogs and whoremongers and sorcerers and, you know, all of this people. Those are the things that cannot get in the head. And the Bible I know you're going to write me an email. I know somebody's going to write me an email. Dogs are the animal that specifically is stated in the scripture that they can't get in. But who am I? And so anyway, it kind of concerned him. And I started looking at this. And I noticed, let me give you a close-up here. I noticed in the background, you had all these weird designs back there. And I was trying to make something out of that. I kept, what is that? And then I kind of looked out a little bit and kind of looked at it. And I noticed there was three groups of these little chaotic lines. Okay, there's, and actually, it took me forever, because you know me, I count things, okay, because I am obsessive compulsive that way, and I know that occult symbols usually involve numbers of some kind, and so I'm counting, and I had to count it like 27 and a half times, because of the chaos and the disorder that these lines are in. Let me see if I can zoom in a little bit here, okay? And so there it is. And I'll tell you, if you stopped what you were doing right now and tried to count the number of lines on these three little sets, it's going to mess you up. I mean, it's hard to do. They're not in order. I want you to think about that. They're not in order. Now, does that mean anything? Well, it might. The fact that when I finally was able to count, I counted at first and I thought there was six on each one. And I'm going, aha, got him, 666. Well, that wasn't true. There's seven on each one of those. And again, it'll take you about 20, 23 minutes, something like that, to really count them, because you keep losing track because of the chaos of the structure. And that's interesting. I'll just simply mention here that Aleister Crowley wrote a book called Liber 777, Other Kabbalistic Writings of Aleister Crowley. One of the reasons why Crowley wrote this particular book is that he said that he kept envisioning this wisdom of the universe called Lucifer, get it, the serpent. And he kept envisioning him as lightning. Remember what Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. And he said that the number seven, when you look at it, it's sort of like the diagonal shape of lightning. And that's why, and that's his own words. That's why he called this book the 777, because it reminded him of the lightning of Lucifer falling from heaven. And of course, to them, that's the God of all gods, Lucifer. Okay. And so I thought, okay, I really got something here. But anyway, I'm not even ready for this. I want you to bear with me now for about, I failed to do this. And I don't know if I have time. I don't think I have time now. Let me just kind of share with you what, and you can actually YouTube, if you write this down, you can YouTube and you can see it. I typed in Ed Young Wild Part 5 on YouTube, and you can pull up this video, okay? Here's what really got me going. Ed Young is now going to talk about things that are wild, okay? I actually have a verse in mind for this, and I'll save it here for a little bit. And he's going to talk about an eagle. So they bring a guy with an eagle. He's one of these animal trainers, animal handlers. Brings a guy that handles animals. He's bringing an eagle out on this, a live eagle, out on the stage, okay? And here's a point that I have been making for a long time, and I really wanted to get this video clip, and I just failed to do it. I'm a failure. I started singing and was uncomfortable with contemporary Christian music, you know, the contemporary, the rock style music. That's uncomfortable with it. And it couldn't quite, you can't quite put your finger on it. You can't say, well, oh no, that according to Leviticus 21:8, that's, you can't quite do that. But anybody that's really born again and they have the spirit of the living God inside of them, they have literally the word of God, the Bible, living and breathing inside of them. Every now and then the Holy Ghost will just kind of say, stay away from that. It's not good. There's something wrong with that. That's not good. And you may not be able to put your finger on it, but it's like God is just saying, trust me. Have faith. Trust me. Don't go into that. Don't listen to that. Don't put that up in your church. So I'm going to have a heavy metal rock group in my church, and the Holy Ghost finally says, Mike, stop it. And I went, ooh, I better stop it. So I did. And so the Holy Ghost is just kind of telling you there's something not right about this contemporary sound and all the guitars and the drums. And we try to identify music stylings, and it's hard to do. But then it starts making sense. Because, and it's sort of along the lines of this. Here's my can of King James right here. This is my King James Bible. Okay? You hear in all these churches all across America and the United Kingdom, all you hear is scripture verses with words like hath and saith. That's all you hear in all these churches. That it's the word of God going out into the ears, into the hearts and people. Then one day, some preacher gets up and he says a scripture verse, and he says the word says and not saith. And you say, you know what, that just doesn't sound right. And you can't quite put your finger on it. You just can't say, you know what, that's wrong. You can't quite pin it down, but it just doesn't sound right. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And then before long, you don't hear hath and saith ever again. They're gone. Now you hear... You go out and buy a new Bible. Because, well, I got to keep up, you know, it's using the modern thing. But then before too long, you're bringing a Bible to church and you look up on the screen and they're not even sticking with the same Bible. They're not even using just the NIV anymore. They're using the Message and the Holman Standard and the Today's Living. And so you know what you do? You, as a church attender, you just... Well, I'm going to leave my Bible at home because they have all the verses up there anyway. And then all of a sudden, you go an entire sermon without having scripture from any Bible quoted at all. And they call that preaching. And they call it dynamic. And they quote Winston Churchill and Mahatma Gandhi and Henry David Thoreau and Hillary Clinton. They quote all these people because, I mean, these people are successful in life and they're well known, and you ought to listen to them. And you're hearing a lot of words and a lot of good words, but you're not hearing the one thing that will save your soul, and that is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And it all started with a preacher who quit saying hath and saith. That's how it started. And before long, you recognize that you're sitting in a place that doesn't even sound like a church anymore. And so let's go back to the music. You had all these churches singing all these old hymns. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in the amazing grace. And you're hearing these songs, and they sound so sweet. And everybody's singing. You know why everybody's singing? Because everybody, we sang these songs 1,000 times, and they never get old because there's truth in them. They're based on the Word of God. Sometimes they're using scripture quotations in the verses themselves. Okay? And... and you're blessed by that. And now all of a sudden now somebody's singing a different song. It's got sounds good, but it just doesn't quite sound the same. And they're going to teach you a new song. I know this song is not in your hymn book, but we learned this at camp. And let's everybody sing this song. And so, okay, you sing the new song. And then before too long, they say, you know what? We have a bunch more of these. Let's bring out a guitar. And now things are changing. And then before too long, nobody's using the hymn books anymore. So they just sit quietly in the back of the pew. Because now they just put all the verses to the songs up on the screen. And we don't have to go through the pesky toil of bending over and picking up and holding a book in our hand. It's all right. But because our hand should be raised up in the air. Do it, do it. Okay? And now we're singing contemporary songs. Songs that we'd never heard of before. Songs that were written by people we don't know their testimony. And they're based upon we don't know what. But they sound religious. And they're talking about you somewhere. And then all of a sudden, we're not even listening and singing Christian songs or Christian-like songs or Christian-esque songs in the church. Now what we're doing is we're just playing songs that everybody knows about, like Highway to Hell. That song's been played in churches. Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones. That song was used. Hell's Bells, that song was used. AC/DC songs. And now we're hearing the top 40 songs being preached about. Pastors preaching whole messages on songs that come out on the radio. And now we're not even hearing the Lord's song. So we're not hearing the Bible anymore, and we're not hearing the Lord's song anymore. And so Ed Young, you gotta, I wish that I could play this. I just went, that's it right there. Ed Young, when he says, we're going to talk about wild things, wild animals. God created them. And so he brings the animal trainer out with his eagle. And they play the music. The band in the background is going to play a little song. Okay? They could play Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. They could play Shout to the Lord, but they don't. The song they played, I pulled the lyrics up. Okay, is a song that was sung by the Steve Miller Band. You remember those guys, don't you? Okay, back in the day when you used to listen to songs like that, and to be honest, your flesh goes, man, that was a good song. Because when I say this song, you're going to go, oh, yeah, da 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 da. This is what you're going to do, okay? The band played while the eagle was in this guy's sermon. Fly like an eagle to the sea. That's what they're playing in the background. Okay? Here's the lyrics. Fly like an eagle. See if you can hear Jesus in this anywhere. Time keeps on slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. Oh Lord, through the revolution. Remember what Barack Obama was going to do. There's going to be a revolution. There still is going to be, by the way, a revolution. You know what that song's about? A guy named, what's his name? Gary something another. Not Gary Ritz. Gary, can't remember. He released a song back in the 70s called Dreamweaver. You remember that song? That is like the freakiest song in the whole world. Dreamweaver. Okay? I can believe you can get me through the night. You know what Dreamweaver was all about? It was an occult practice called astral projection. You go into a contemplative state. You free your mind, okay? You expand your consciousness. You self-hypnotize yourself through contemplative prayer, through a mantra, and you go into a very, 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 very deep hypnotic state, and literally you are carried out of your body, the out-of-body experience or whatever, astral projection, and you can literally then go anywhere in the universe that you want to go and then put yourself back in your body. That's what fly like an eagle is. Fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free, O Lord, through the revolution. That's the song that Ed Young played at his church. I just love what he says. I go to one of his campuses. See, they don't call them churches anymore, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with the fact that they don't want to call them churches anymore, because I go to a church and it's nothing like that one. Can I get an amen out of somebody? I got about 8 minutes here. Read some emails. Joseph, Pastor Mike, referencing 1 Corinthians 15:38, for what purpose do you think God gave seed to the angels? And he's referencing the third Giants video we did, and you study 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that's what God says. Everybody has a seed. That's what it says. Everybody has a seed. That's how God created the entire universe, was with his words. His word, Jesus, the word. That's how he created it. And so every form of creation has word in it. And I don't want you to misinterpret that. I just want you to understand that the Bible says Christ is all and in all. That is exactly what the King James Bible says. And everything in the universe was created with the word, and it all bears God's word signature in it. And if it's living, it has word in it. It has seed. It has DNA. And that's the angels were created. They weren't always around. They were spoken into existence by God, and God gave them a body, and hence that body has a seed, a book that determines what that body looks like. It's a good question. Let's see here. Forrest from Maui. He says, what is the deal with 501c3 corporate status churches? Does the state really have dominion over what they can say? Is this why some churches teach a watered-down gospel and no hard preaching sometimes? What do you think? Now, I will say, and Forrest, it's a great question, and I don't want anybody to be spreading out on the internet, Pastor Hoggard's 501c3, because we're not. We're not. Okay? We are not a 501c3 church. I'm just telling you that we're not. Okay? Now, there's some people out there that have, and let me just say this to you. And I will say it to you in love. Okay? And I do. I love you. I care about you. A lot of you people have said, Pastor Mike, you're our pastor. Okay? Okay, that's fine. Then you need to listen to me. There's some of you out there that do not go to church anywhere in your area because you honestly, legitimately cannot find a good gospel preaching, King James Bible believing church. I understand that. There are some of you out there, and I'm saying this to you in love, there are some of you out there that are simply rebellious. The fact of it is, you don't belong in any church. Do you know why? Because you have a Jezebel spirit on you that's a mile long. You sit in a church and immediately you start tearing that church down in your mind. Well, look at this. That's wrong. I read that on the internet. Look at that. That's wrong. That's wrong. And you immediately start tearing down every church in your mind. And it's in some cases, you've been asked to leave, and you've been asked to leave legitimately. And there's a pretty good chance that if you came to this church and stayed here for any length of time, I would probably be saying, you know what? There's the door. You're just rebellious. And the first thing you do when you go into a church, you're not looking for the Bible. You're not looking for what they're preaching. The first thing out of your mouth when you walk in the door is, Pastor, are you 501c3? Because if you are, you're owned by the government. You need to learn something, okay? I don't know why some churches choose this as their status. I don't know why. A pastor gets a church. That church may have been 501c3 for the last 75 years, and he had nothing to do with it. But that's the first thing in your mind. And if he is, well, I read it on the internet. The government owns you, bud, and you won't have anything to do with that. And you refused to step foot in a church that someone told you was government owned. Now, 501c3 is an actual IRS designation, okay? And here's the thing. The IRS has this little rule that they don't want charitable organizations getting involved with politics. Now, that works well as long as you are a church that favors conservative politics. If you're a liberal church and or you're a – I'll just say this. A lot of black churches can get away with having a Democratic candidate in their church services. They do it every election year, okay? I guarantee you Barack Obama has got on his list between now and election year probably at least 30 churches he's going to visit to get elected in, okay? Now, last year or 2 years ago, some churches that were 501c3 stood up to the IRS on a certain day and they said, "We dare you. We dare you. We're going to preach politics. We're going to preach candidates. We're going to say this behind our pulpit, and we dare you to revoke our 501c3 status." I applaud that. I applaud that. I appreciate it. Just because a church is 501c3 does not make them have them the mark of the beast. It doesn't. I would listen to what they had to say. I'd give them about 6 or 8 months before I decided whether or not I was going to go back. Okay? Be fair about it, people. Be fair. And again, I love you, but some of you out there, you're just rebellious. That's your problem. Watcher Doyle, how you doing, buddy? Hi, Pastor Mike. Loved Reg Kelly last night. My Watchman packet just arrived in the post. Yay! I was studying Psalm 119. I found all forms of the word 42 times exactly. Does this mean God, fully man, the word made? You know what? That's a good analogy of it. That is a brilliant analogy. If you look in the genealogies in Matthew chapter 1, you'll find 14 and 14 and 14. You know what that makes? 42. Not bad. Psalm 119. Maybe I'll try to verify that a little bit later on, all right? Appreciate that. Jazz says, FYI, the Watchman Video Broadcast YouTube channel is 44 people shy of 1,000 subscribers. Come on. I know God is speaking to you 44 people out there. No, I'm just kidding. Appreciate that piece of information, Jazz. Let's see, Cindy Haynes. Hi, first time on the live broadcast. This is a terrible echo. What's up with that? I don't know. Does anybody else have an echo? I don't. Well, I have one, but it's because of the process here. But I don't think there's supposed to be an echo on this. Let's see here. Okay, it's on my end. Sorry, she wrote back. All right, never mind. Let's see here. Linda, ask your visiting officer to check out a website for those who took an oath to honor the Constitution, www.oathkeepers.org. Go check it out for yourself and see what you think. I appreciate that, Linda. Michelle, the bacteria release falls in line with the New Ager's first commandment of the Georgia Guidestones, which is reduce the population. I agree with that scripturally because I was going to do this today, and I actually had something prepared. To talk about in regards to Earth Day and Earth worship and the public school indoctrination and everything like that. And yes, I absolutely believe there's going to be a population reduction on planet Earth. Read Revelation chapters 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, and you will absolutely see that. But it goes deeper than that. Gaia, Mother Earth, the woman, she hates men having dominion over her. And as long as men are walking around on the earth, they have dominion over the earth, and she hates that. Chris writes in, I watched them a long time ago talking about TBN, but then they saw what they were about. And what is with that crazy look that she has going? He's talking about Jan Crouch. There's a time to grow up and look and act your age. Amen, Chris. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Adam writes, Psalm 139 is about DNA and how precious God views children. The end of the psalm is about what God would say to the abortion doctor. Oh, listen to this. Psalm 139:19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. You know what? Amen to that. Joanne says, I used to live in Orlando, and I remember seeing ads for the Unholy Land Experience. I like to describe it as a Disney World with an NIV tucked under its armpit. Had no idea that PC and Mrs. Had anything to do with it. Glad I never went. Amen to that. Lonnie and Bobby, last one. Oh, I want to read one more here. Speaking of words, cavalry and calvary are not interchangeable. Good one for you. And then Chris writes in, Clinton body count, I do, and lots of folks died or came up missing. And so if I came up missing, I don't know. I try not to take myself too seriously. I'm just a guy reading a Bible. It's good to be with you today, Pastor Mike. I am out of here. Join us tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time for more of Pastor Reg Kelly. And Wednesday night, tomorrow's Pure Bible Study Day. I have the Watchman script ready to record. Thursday, I'll be back here online live. Love you guys. Tell somebody about Jesus, all right? Tell them the truth. God bless you. See ya.